Turn in your Bibles to Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4. As you're finding your place there, those that may need nursery care, we do still have nursery, even though ours is being remodeled. It is the best way to get there is through those double doors in the back. Take a right down the steps, and it will be right there on your left. So anyone that needs nursery, that is where we are at this time. Hopefully, not too much longer, and we'll have a new nursery just back here. So we're very excited about that. So if you need nursery, go downstairs. All right, Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4, and we're going to read verses 35 through 41. If you would please stand in reverence of the reading of God's Word. Verse 35 says, "And the same day when evening was come, he saith unto them, Let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship, and there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow, and they awake him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, What manner is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? I would like to bring a message to you today entitled, Where Was the Church? Pray with me. Father, in Jesus' name, I do thank you for the reading of your word now. Lord, I pray that you would bless the proclamation of your word as I try my best to bring the message that you gave me, Lord, and you have challenged me with, Lord, and God, I pray that, Father, every one of us, God, would take this message, God, and ask the question that we need to ask today. So, Lord, now this is your time. God, these are your people. God, stir in the lives of your people is my prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Now, as you sit there this morning, I want you to close your eyes. Close your eyes for me for just a second. Close your eyes with me for just a second and imagine with me for just a moment, what if the church had not been on mission during Hurricane Helene? Imagine if there had not been a work site at Perkinsville Baptist Church in Boone, North Carolina. There had not been a food pantry set up at the First Baptist Church in Boone. What if there not been Manna 1 in Marion, North Carolina, Manna 2 and 3 in Asheville, North Carolina, if there not had been churches set up to house people coming from all over the land? What if there were not orange shirts all over Western North Carolina from Samaritan's Purse? What if there wasn't yellow shirts from Baptist All Mission all over Western North Carolina? What if there wasn't crazy church members taking a chainsaw to a broken down road where people could not get out? Imagine with me for a split second, what if there wasn't crews from all over the nation coming in droves to the point that at times they had to be turned away for a brief period of time because there wasn't enough jobs for the laborers? Imagine if Baptist, Methodist, Presbyterian, Episcopal, and all other churches did not get involved. Where would Western North Carolina be? I want you to understand fully as you continue to imagine that this has zero to do with politics. This has zero to do with FEMA. This has us all imagining where would Western North Carolina be if the church didn't show up. You may open your eyes. So, going back to my question, where was the church? Where was the church? I want you to hear me. The church was mobilized on mission for the calling that is given to all of us. Do you hear me? The church was mobilized on mission for the calling that is given to all of us. Simply put, the church was being the church. It was the church that led efforts in cleaning up Western North Carolina. It was the church that set up at Perkinsville Baptist Church in Boone for 6 weeks to house anyone so they could work. It was a church that set up in Boone, North Carolina to feed anyone in the surrounding counties such as Watauga, Avery, and Ashe County. It was a church that went to places like Asheville, Marion, Swannanoa, Maggie Valley, Biscoe, Todd, Lake Lure, Chimney Rock, Hendersonville, Burnsville, Bakersville, Spruce Pine, Boone, Banner Elk, Blowing Rock, and all of the other places in Western North Carolina. It was the church that volunteered their time with Samaritan's Purse and also with Baptists on Mission. It was the church that sent out the crazy men and women with the chainsaws to cut out roads just so people could get out of their driveways. It was the church that got dirty and would go into people's basements that were destroyed and gutted out mud and all the debris from the flood. It was a church that had no idea how to do certain jobs, but they knew there was a need that needed to happen, and they went anyways. Praise God, it was the church that didn't look at separate entities such as Pleasant Hill, Macedonia, Elkin Valley, Pleasant Ridge, and all of the other surrounding churches, but the church as a whole looked at one another and saw that we are the body of Christ, and the commission for the gospel to be presented is our calling, brethren. The church mobilized to Western North Carolina, not just as a group of believers from one church, but went as God commanded in the Word of God, and we became the church of Jesus Christ. And so I stand here today and testify that if the church of Jesus Christ did not get off the pews and into the work that God commanded us to do, then Western North Carolina would not be in the shape that it is in today. Now, is it all back to normal? No, absolutely not. But I do want to share with you some statistics that Greg Wagner sent me from Baptist on Mission concerning some things that have happened over the period of this year. In the disaster relief recovery response locations, this is how much Baptist on Mission is doing. Remember, we took up offering for Baptist on Mission. This is what it's going to. Are you listening? Here we go. How many response locations do we have? We have one in Claremont, Henderson, Sophia, Lumberton, Leland, Southport, and the North Carolina Mountains. Here's some grand statistics so far this year. Salvations through Baptist on Mission, 26. And I could count that probably low, considering what we've faced with Western North Carolina. Volunteers, 11,297. Volunteer days, 42,135. Volunteer hours, 413,620. Assessments, 5,311. Families ministered to, over 500. Meals prepared, over 500,000 meals prepared. Jobs completed, meaning chainsaw, tear out, spray, temp, roofing, all those. 5,000 plus churches involved, and here's what I love to see, 3,200. Listen to me. The email says we are transitioning from recovery to EER. And you say, what is EER? I didn't know it either. Emergency Rapid Repairs. In many of our open recovery sites in Western North Carolina, please consider volunteering for this opportunity over the next few months. Now listen to this. The email says, we also move into a more permanent rebuild soon and will need your help for years to come. Now listen to me. The job is not finished, church. The job is not finished, and I recognize that. But I praise God. When someone asks where the church was, that I can stand up and say that we were there. And here's my challenge to you, that we will continue to be there. Because you understand that God has called us to be with our brothers and sisters through this storm and the ones that we will face in the future. I love what one preacher said at the North Carolina Baptist State Convention this past November. When he spoke about what God was doing in Western North Carolina, he said, when we are doing what God has called us to do, listen to this, he states, the kingdom of God looks like an unstoppable force of love and compassion, a living testimony of grace. I'm going to say that one more time. Write that down. You need to write that down. The kingdom of God looks like an unstoppable force of love and compassion, a living testimony of grace. Now you ask me, Joe, you have just read a very familiar passage from Mark chapter 4, verses 35 through 41, about how Jesus calms the storm. Now, what does that have to do with where was the church? Well, I'm glad that you asked. I see two things from Jesus that I want to share with you from this passage of Scripture. The first thing that I see about Jesus is that he had an urgency about him. He had an urgency about him. Look with me in verse 35. It says, and the same day when the evening was come, he saith unto them, let us pass over unto the other side. So how was he urgent? First, he wanted to go. Now, one thing that I would like for you to notice is that Jesus didn't wait around here. See, it was in the evening time. It says, and when the evening was come, he saith unto him, let us pass over unto the other side. So the question that we all must ask is, why did he want to go during this time? This was evening time. It was getting dark, and they could have just sat down there and rested there until the next day. But Jesus didn't want to do that, and thus he said, let us now pass over unto the other side. Now, why did he want to go at such a late time? It wasn't just because he wanted to cross the road, as the old saying is, but in Mark chapter 5, look with me in verse 1, this is the very reason why Jesus was urgent about going across to the other side. It says in Mark chapter 5, verse 1, and they came over into the other side of the sea and then into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit. Why did Jesus want to go to the other side? It was for one reason, and that was to see the one with the unclean spirit. He was urgent in his desire to get to the other side because of one man. Jesus didn't just leave, but he went for the one, and that is why you and I are called to do as well. You know, I wonder how you and I would feel if there was only one place that was impacted, or if there was only one person that was impacted. Jesus Christ cared for that one person and so you and I are called to be just like Christ. So Jesus went for the one person. He knew that he would face a storm, but praise God, he also knew that he could calm the storm. And allow the disciples to go to the other side. You know, I just keep going back to one of my favorite passages in all the Word of God in Acts chapter 8. Go with me there in Acts chapter 8, verse 26. You've heard me reference this many times, but it is one of my favorite passages in all the Word of God. In Acts chapter 8, verse 26, this is obviously commonly referred to as Philip and the eunuch. But look with me and just see the urgency that Philip had, just like Jesus, to go. Now, verse 26, and the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, arise and go toward the south into the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopian and a eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot, read Esaias the prophet. And then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah, and said unto, understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, how can I except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. And the place of the scripture which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so he opened not he not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away, and who shall declare his generation, for his life is taken from the earth? And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speakest the prophet this, of himself or of some other man? And then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came into a certain water, and the eunuch said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still. And they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. See, Philip could have said no to God. You say, what do you mean? There was a great, if you read in Acts chapter 8, verses 5 through 25, there was a great revival happening in Samaria. And Philip was the leader there. But Philip was obedient to go. He was, I'm sure, comfortable. He was comfortable in Samaria, but he went. Why did he go? Because he desired to do what God called him to do. The Lord, the Holy Spirit got a hold of Philip and said, I need you to go to Gaza and go down the desert road. Don't even take the best way, but you need to go down the desert road. And praise God, when he went down the desert road, he met this Ethiopian, and this Ethiopian man said, what must I do to be saved? And Philip preached the gospel of Jesus Christ, and that man was gloriously saved. Now, what I want you to understand here is that Philip had an urgency to go, even though he probably could have stayed in Samaria and done another great work, but he went anyways. Why did he go? Because Jesus Christ commanded him to. Listen, I want you to understand, God is doing a great work here at Pleasant Hill Baptist Church. We're seeing new people come in each and every week. We've baptized many this year. We've seen many come to know Jesus Christ, but praise God, listen, God is still calling us to get out of these pews and go to where God is commanding us to. Just like Western North Carolina, and just like storms that will come in the near future, there will be other storms that will come, and God will continue to call us to go and to help them out, not only to help them physically, but praise God, to help them spiritually. And that is what God has called you and I to do, just like Philip. But we must have an urgency, just like Jesus Christ, just like Philip, to go. But not only do I see that he had an urgency to go, but Jesus had an urgency to restore here. He said in John chapter 4, verse 35, in the same day when the evening was come, he saith unto him, let us pass over into the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship, and there were also with him other little ships. So I see that he had an urgency to restore. He desired to go to the other side. Why? To get to that one man, to get to that one man that was possessed with the devil. And so how do we restore? We restore physically. Now, I understand that this man didn't have a physical problem, but more of a spiritual problem, and we'll get to that in just a moment. However, I would like to declare to you that as we have an urgency to restore the physical problems that people are facing, if they have a spiritual problem, that may coincide with one another. You know, why do Baptists on mission go? They go to help those that are in desperate need physically and spiritually. As we have went west, we have been going to help the physical problem that people are facing. But let me add this. As we have been repairing their physical problems, that leads into a spiritual conversation. And I'm not saying that people are not just receptive to the gospel anymore, but I believe with all of my heart, people do like to see the investment in Christ through helping them out. If they can see that one comes in the name of Christ because of the change that has taken place, then they will be in more turn to relinquish their strongholds in their life and accept Jesus Christ. So we must repair physically, but we must restore spiritually. And the very reason that Jesus went to the other side was to get to the man that was hopelessly possessed without Jesus. Verse 2 says there, and when he was come out of the ship, this is Mark 5, 2, excuse me. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit. Listen, this man had an evil spirit. He lived among the tombs. He was cut off from society. He was uncontrollable, unrestrained, untamed, wild, mad, violent-tempered, and he was always inflicting wounds upon himself. This man had a major problem, and that was his need of the devil to come out of him. He had a spiritual problem, and he needed to be restored. And Jesus came on the scene, and praise God, this man was restored back to life. In Mark 5 and 8, it says, "For he said unto him, Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit." Mark 5 and 18 says, "And when he was coming to the ship that had been possessed with the devil, prayed him that he might be with him. Howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, Go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord had done for thee and has had compassion on thee." What do we see here? He was restored spiritually through the Spirit of God. Listen, you and I understand that we can't help someone spiritually. Now, we can tell them about Jesus, and that's all that we are called to do. We can't save a person, but we can tell them who can save them. And that is what you are called to do. As Jesus had an urgency for this man, we are called to have an urgency to restore them. We have an urgency to go. And then finally, we are called to have an urgency to evangelize. In Matthew 28, 19 through 20 says, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen." See, in the original Greek, this word means as you are going. Teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Listen, we must have an urgency for the mandate from the Master. Jesus Christ has called us to go and to evangelize to all nations. I don't have to tell you that our nation is in shambles, but more importantly, our world is in a mess. If you're sitting there in the pew and think that just because the election went your way, all our problems are going to stop, you are badly mistaken. See, we have a bigger problem than just an election. We have a sin problem. And the coming of Christ is near. So we must have an urgency to go throughout the world spreading the good news of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ set the example while on earth, and he has called us to do the same. We may not be able to go everywhere, but wherever we go, that's what Jesus is telling us. Wherever we go, God has placed us as our, that is our mission field. And there are people dying daily, even in our area, that are going to hell. You know why? Simply put, because we as Christians are not telling them about Jesus Christ. And so Jesus had an urgency to go. Not only did Jesus have an urgency to go, but he had an urgency to restore. And then Jesus, all throughout his ministry, had an urgency to evangelize. But not only do I see an urgency that Jesus had there in verse 35, but secondly, in verses 37 through 41, I see an unwavering commitment from Jesus. I see an unwavering commitment from Jesus. He said in verse 37, "And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship asleep on a pillow. And they awake him and said unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are you so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, What manner of man is this that even the wind and this sea obey him?" See, Jesus had an unwavering commitment to first the mission. From Jesus' mission here on earth, all the time of his ministry here on earth, he never wavered from what God called him to do. He had an unwavering commitment to the mission. What was the mission? He tells us in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 28. He tells us to go. He tells us to evangelize, to baptize, and then Jesus tells us to disciple. Listen, as we commit to the mission of Jesus Christ, you and I, every one of us that names the name of Christ, are to be committed to the mission of Jesus Christ. We are to go in our lives wherever we go. We are to evangelize, tell them about Jesus Christ and Christ alone, and then we are to see them to be baptized, and then we are to not just say, praise God, they are now gloriously saved, but then we take the word of God and we disciple them so they're no longer babes in Christ, but then they grow in their relationship with Christ so that then they can go throughout wherever God calls them and do the same thing. We are to be committed to the mission of Jesus Christ. Now, is it always fun and games? No, it's not. There are storms, just like we see here in our passage of scripture today. There are storms that take place. But I want you to understand, storms are not a reason to abandon the mission, but they are just part of the journey. They are just part of the journey. And so Jesus was unwavering in his commitment to the mission. But secondly, I believe that Jesus was unwavering to the commitment to the message. Jesus never wavered in the message that he said. And what is it? Praise God, it's still the same today. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." That's still the truth of the matter. We're all sinners, and that was the message of Jesus Christ. We understand from Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord." We understand that our sin separates us from God. And we understand how we are to obtain eternal life is through Christ and Christ alone. In John 17:3, "And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, in Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent." And then in John 14:6, Jesus tells us that he is the way, the truth, and the life. "And no man can come to the Father but by me." And then in Romans 10:9 says, "For if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved." And praise God, Romans 10:13 says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." That was the message of Jesus Christ, and it is still the message that you and I are called to spread throughout the nations today. May we never waver from the message of Jesus Christ. The message is still the same. I don't care what other pastors or influencers are saying. There is still only one way to heaven, and there is still only one Jesus Christ. One must understand they're a sinner and their sin separates us from God and be willing to turn to Christ and allow him to be Savior and the Lord. The message is still the same, my dear brethren, and may God help us to never compromise or try to add or take away the message of Jesus Christ. May we never waver in our commitment to the message, but finally, may we never waver from the Master. From the Master. Romans 12:1-2 says, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." So, listen, brethren, as we are faithful to the mission and we're faithful to the message, then we will be faithful to the Master. Can I share something with you? Every bit of the storms that you may have to go through, like the disciples did, is worth it all. The mission is worth every storm because serving Jesus is worth it all. Serving Jesus is worth it all. We don't need to fear any storm, because the one that even the wind and the sea obey him is the one that is guiding you through everything that you're doing in the name of Jesus Christ. So here's my question to you as I wrap this up. Man, I'm going to get y'all out early today. You said, well, praise God. Going to be first in line. Here's my question, though, as we close this up. Jesus Christ went after the one with the unclean spirit through the storm. But let me ask you a question to you today. Who is waiting on you on the other side in your own life? Who is waiting on you on the other side of your own life? Yes, today is all about continuing the work in Western North Carolina, and I'm challenging you today to continue the work in Western North Carolina and wherever God calls us to. But I'm also challenging you with the notion, who around you is waiting for you to share about the mission, the message, and the Master. So you say, Joe, what can I do? Well, there are three things I believe that we all can do as God calls us to be the church as a whole. First, we all pray. We pray. Every one of you can pray. Now, I understand some of you cannot go because of your health conditions to certain places. I understand that, and the Lord understands that, but I promise you, the Lord knows that you all can pray. We need to be praying that God will continue to send workers for what is taking place. But not only that, but God would speed this process up. You know, I don't know about y'all, but as I was sitting there around my Thanksgiving table this week, I had Western North Carolina on my mind. I was thankful for a home that I was warm in. You know, there are still people in our little state that are in tents today. Tents. Where it's colder, where it's snowing, and they're in tents. So I'm asking that you would please pray for these people. Pray God protect them. Pray God would keep them warm, keep them safe, keep them well. All of that you need to be praying about. But also, as we understood, I want to read this once again from this email from Baptist on Mission. In many of our open recovery sites in Western North Carolina, there will be emergency rapid repairs. Please consider volunteering for this opportunity over the next few months. We will also move into a more permanent rebuild soon and will need your help for years to come. So what does this tell me? As God's called you to work, we're not only to pray, but we are to participate. We are to participate. And I want you to write this down in your calendar. On April 26, 2025, right here at Pleasant Hill Baptist Church, there will be a training for Baptists on Mission. And here are the things that you can be trained for. Admin recovery, assessment, chaplaincy, child care, crew chief, maintenance, communications, IT, feeding. Now listen, if you can make a piece of toast, you can do feeding, okay? I can do feeding. I did feeding. And I'm going to get trained because I technically didn't do the training, but I did feeding thanks to Greg Wagner. But if you can do feed, if you can make a piece of toast, you can do feeding. A lot of toast. Logistics, medical reserve corps, MRC, recovery trailer, safety, shower, laundry, forklift. All of these things you can be trained for through Baptist on Mission that will help you in years to come to be prepared for wherever God calls us to. See, Greg Wagner says this oftentimes. He says, when the wind blows is where we will go. And listen, the wind's going to blow. It'll continue to blow. And there will be places, not only just Western North Carolina, that you will need, that God will call you to go. But the question is, are you willing to do it? Are you willing to take the training? Andy, please show that. This is a QR code. And this QR code will lead you to the exact place that you need to go to sign up for Baptist on Mission training here at Pleasant Hill Baptist Church. It is okay for you to get your cell phones out at this time. I'm okay with that. Okay? This, my dear brethren, will probably never happen again. Hopefully, I hope so. But I promise you, the training for Baptist on Mission will never be closer than Pleasant Hill Baptist Church. Praise God, it was because of Greg and Michelle Wagner that we're able to have it here. And I'm so grateful that it's going to be here. And I look to see a lot of you to be there that day. Because why? Because we need to have an urgency to go, to restore, and to evangelize. And we need to have an unwavering commitment to the mission, to the message, and to the master. And that, my dear brethren, is what Jesus did here in Mark 4 and what he has called us to do as well. So where was the church? The church was on the ground. And as long as we stand strong on the mission, the message, and the master, the church will continue putting boots on the ground in order to help and to show the love of Christ. And so in conclusion, I ask this question. What part of God's big plan is he calling you to do?